everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. What a beautiful day the Lord's given us. How great He is. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I know there are a lot of situations, a lot of prayer requests been going forth. Go ahead. Anybody on my right side have a spoken prayer request? Sister Brenda, go ahead. Absolutely. We will. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, Ms. Tabitha? Excuse me. Absolutely. Good to see you here with us this evening. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? All right. Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Okay. Praise God. I don't want to miss anyone in the congregation. All right. Anyone from the roster?
Good. I'm doing better, but I need you to put my aunt, Nancy, on prayer list. She's having heart trouble, and she's in the hospital now. And she's 71 years old, and she thinks she's still 16. So she's run herself into the ground, but she's in the hospital and needs prayer.
Absolutely. Wish her well. Any spoken prayer requests?
Brother Chewy, Brother Kevin, Sister Linda, and Don's mother.
That's right. So many. Anyone else? Alrighty. Like I said, there's so many others. And for those of you that see the text blast, there are a lot of special prayer requests have gone out. And also, don't forget our prayer box and those other situations that we know. If you have another unspoken prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for your blessings, your love, and your mercy and grace. Dear Lord, we thank you for the open channel that we have, dear Lord, through you. Dear Lord, that we can come directly with you with our needs and our situations in our life. Dear Lord, we ask for you to guide us, protect us, dear Lord. You hear the spoken and unspoken prayer request tonight. Lord, we're placing each and every one in your hand, dear Lord. Those watching on the live feed, Lord, may your presence just be felt with them and wherever they're at right now, dear Lord, whether it be in a nursing home or assisted living or a hospital. But, dear Lord, we ask for your touch, dear Lord, for those that are traveling. Also, there are those that have lost a loved one in our congregation that we've mentioned. Lord, we ask that you'll just be with each and every situation. Again, dear Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. Lord, we ask for your blessings to be on our pastor and his family, each and every ministry that goes forth from this congregation, and also for our young people in their class tonight and for the little ones in their Bible study. Dear Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, and everybody says...
Amen.
Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. I just love to meet with y'all and just love each and every one of them. We thank you for your prayers and for all the situations. Those watching on the feed tonight, please, if you have a prayer request, you'd like to type it in the comment section. We'd love to pray with you and know that God is great and that He is worthy to be praised in all that we do. While you're standing... turn to page 390. There's power in the blood. I need y'all to help me sing tonight. Seated if you can. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering. Don't want to forget to mention, most of y'all were here Sunday, but let's also remember Sister Linda. I know through the text blast that Brother Tom's been putting out, she's getting some negative reports on things being good, but now we're just giving it to God to get this situation straightened out and what needs to be handled. And also, don't forget about this coming Sunday morning after the AM service. That we're having our annual pastor's appreciation celebration, and that we'll be having a dinner right after service. Really looking forward to it. It's a great time. I know as Brother Eddie, he made the statement Sunday. He says, I says, what does it feel like to know you've ministered 30 years? And he just kind of smiled, and he just says, maybe 29 is what he said Sunday. And I just gave him a good snicker. So we just appreciate our pastor and his family and all that they've done for us and all that God's done through them. And just praise God. Praise God. Brother Jim, if you would, just ask the Lord to bless our evening offering, please. Yes, Lord. Amen. And as they said about the dinner, if you want to, there was a list, but to bring side dishes, drinks, desserts. That's what they had situated that was done. Thank you. Praise God. Tabitha, if y'all want to work your way this way. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Might be a little bit off key till I get Sister Penny on the right key. My life's made up of choices that I make.
Sister Karen, come on up.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise His name.
Putting Sister Penny on the spot. Last night at the ladies' meeting, Sister Linda spoke on the grace of God, and I just been thinking about that today, off and on. But I wanted to sing this song, What Mercy Did For Me. I wanted to say I'm thankful that my brother is here with me tonight. I've not seen my brother in almost 2 years. And that's not like us not to be able to see each other, but he lives out in Mississippi now, and he travels all over. Work is what brought him here. He's working in Rome, and he's supposed to be here till the 28th, but now they're telling him the 20th. But I'm just thankful that he was able to be in church with me and Mom today. And so glad that I got to see him. He's tired. He works long hours. He's a hard worker, but I love him, and I'm glad you're here with us tonight, Bubba.
I was hopeless. I knew I was lost. Death and darkness were my only songs. I needed someone to come rescue me, and mercy heard my plea. Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me a real love. I thank you, Jesus, you washed my sins away, and now I'm living, I got forgiven, you came to set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. You gave me beauty from my guilty stains. And now I'm living day to day by His grace. So excuse me if I can't contain my praise. 'Cause I know that I've been saved. Lord, you found me. You healed me. You called me. Thank you, Jesus, you washed my sins away, and now I'm living, I got forgiven, you came to set me free, that's what your mercy did for me, and every morning, mercy will restore me, I will proclaim. Thank you, Jesus, you washed my sins away, and now I'm living, I got forgiven, you came to set me free, that's what your mercy did for me, that's what your mercy did for me, that's what your mercy did for me.
Me to testify, so I'm just going to testify what I did last night. So some of y'all, just to show you how good God is, and He prepares you in advance for things He knows going to happen in the future that you don't have any idea about. So I'll try to make it short. This has been about 15, 18 years ago. We had service, I think it was on a Sunday night, and I had on a brand new outfit, and I'm saying that for a reason. You'll get it in a minute. And I had let someone in church borrow $150 from me, and they paid me back that night. Now, I don't usually carry that much cash, but, you know, I had $150 cash. And that night also, somebody called me up for prayer, said, God just said, you need prayer. Well, I'm never going to refuse prayer. I mean, I might not think I need it right then, but, you know, God knows. So we leave here after church. We go to Subway. I'll go in and get me a sandwich or get us one. Eddie and Kevin are in the van, and they're facing away from the store. We've never parked that way. We always park facing toward the store. And I ordered there was two workers in there and me, and I ordered our sandwiches and was about to pay, and two armed robbers came in with... It wasn't little guns, it was shotguns or rifles. I don't know, they were long, whatever it was. And one of them got right in my face, and the other one went behind the counter where the two workers were. And I guess I was in shock, kind of to start with, and I said, and he looked at me, he said, get on the ground now. And I just kept standing there because I'm thinking, this is not real. And then he said it again, so I got down on the dirty floor in my brand new outfit. And the whole time this was going on, and that shotgun, right, I could see it right beside my head, was, my outfit is going to get filthy. And I'm not ever going to be wearing it again. That's really, I was very calm. And that's all I thought about, is how upset I was going to be, because I knew it was going to be filthy. Well, then, after it's over, of course, then I lost it after everything was over when I went out to the car to tell Eddie about it, and I had to go back in, of course, when the police got there. But I said, they took my $150. And the police said, but ma'am, it's a good thing you had money, because the owner of the restaurant had just come and got all the money, and all he left in the till was $20. And he said, usually when somebody is doing armed robbery, they're wanting cash, and if they had had no cash, they probably would have got mad and started shooting. So there's why I got my $150 back. And I believe my outfit, that what I was thinking, that kept me calm. And like Tabitha said, that was his purpose of me, to keep me calm. That was on my mind instead of me worrying about everything else. And Eddie parking away from the restaurant was another thing, because if Eddie had been parked toward the restaurant, he would have seen it. And you know he would have run in there and probably would have got hurt. So, I mean, and so God knew ahead of time. And that's why that person called me up for prayer. And I didn't thank him at the time, because, you know, that wasn't really in my mind. But later, as I was thinking about it, I think, you know, he prepared for every little thing that was going to take place. And it's just amazing how God takes care of us when we don't know that he's working. So I just love him for everything.
Well, praise the Lord. How many knows he's an on-time God? Yeah. Sister Penny, remind me when we get home to explain the difference between preaching and testifying, if you would. That's a good testimony, wasn't it? Amen. Praise God. She used to give that testimony, and I know what was on people's mind. Where's that sorry husband of yours? He's in the van with his back turned, watching Kevin. But anyway, just thank the Lord that he was able to be there. And, you know, if we think about it, every one of us has a story. Some of us have several stories where God interceded on our behalf. And thank God that he does. Amen. Not only does he save us, not only does he love us, but he keeps us in the palm of his hand and he takes care of us. We were talking about it today when Penny started telling me about what they was talking about last night. And we was talking about how many times God takes care of us and we're not even aware that he is taking care of us. We don't even know there's any danger anywhere around. But God is there, and I'm so thankful that he is. That's the reason that we have his spirit within us. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? Just give him praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Exodus tonight. I'm going to bring to our remembrance a very old story in the Bible, one that is very intriguing to me. All of the stories in the Bible are very intriguing, but how God operates and how everything is set in order, and many times he's using the people that have no idea what he's doing, and maybe we can testify to the same fact. Maybe God sometimes is doing something in our life. We have no idea what he's doing. Amen. Until after the fact, and then we say, oh, yeah, well, I see now how God worked that out. And we want to share tonight something along that line. Not to keep you standing, but in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, if you'll bear with me, I want to read verses 1 through 7. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you and we're thankful, God, for your many blessings. We're thankful for this opportunity to gather together tonight. Father, for each and every one that's come this way, God, I pray your anointing and I pray your blessing upon each and every need tonight, those who are sick, those who are afflicted. God, those who have already called and let us know, God, that they need prayer. Father, we know that you're an on-time God, and we pray that you would reach out to each and every need. Just be with us now, God, to lead us and guide us in the way that you'd have us to go. I pray, God, that you would anoint this vessel. Lord, just speak through us tonight, God, that we may hear and obey your word. And we'll be careful to give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. For a message title, I want to borrow a title from a song that says, Nothing But the Blood. Nothing But the Blood. I want to walk back for just a little bit in history, if you would allow me to a time when Moses had left Egypt. You know, I just kind of reminisce the story and remind us that what Moses was doing during this particular time. He had met a lady, and now he had married her, and he was working for her father, and he was keeping the sheep in the backside of the desert. And understand, as we said a while ago, God is working and formulating a plan all the time when many times we're not even aware of it. Moses is just tending the sheep, minding his own business, out on a probably a nice, cool evening, and he sees something that he has never seen before. He sees a burning bush, or actually it's a bushy tree, if you look up the Bible reference, and it's burning, but it is not consumed. It continues to burn. Well, rightfully so, it strikes up his amazement and his curiosity, so he begins to walk toward the burning bush, and as he approaches it, a voice from the burning bush tells him to remove your shoes, for the place that you stand is holy ground. And you will remember that God begins to speak to Moses from the midst of the burning bush, beginning to tell him a plan of action that he wants him to go back to Egypt, a place that he is a fugitive from, a place where he has actually taken a life of one of the Roman soldiers or the Roman guards. But God is telling him, I want you to go back, and I want you to go before Pharaoh, and I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, after about 400 and something years of Egyptian bondage, then I imagine that Moses is thinking, you've asked me to do an impossible thing. Now, I don't want to see a show of hands, but has anybody on the congregation tonight been moved on or led by the Lord, and he move on you to do something, and the first thing you tell him, Lord, that's impossible. I am not going to be able to do that. You know me. You're going to have to get somebody else. Well, you know, the Bible tells us that the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. So God doesn't need your ability. As Sister Tabitha posted, you know, he doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. How many knows that that's true? Amen. God can take just the smallest human there is and work miracles through them if they are submissive and obedient. So Moses is contemplating this, and he offers every kind of excuse that he possibly can, like many of us do, when the Spirit of the Lord leads and guides us into a mission for the Lord. But finally, he is persuaded by the power of God, and God tells him to go and tell them, I am is with you. And he gets, Moses begins to get a little excited about this and being able to hear from the voice of God and this great thing, and probably begins to imagine, man, when I'm going to go stand before Pharaoh and I'm going to tell him God said to let the people go, and he's going to obey that, and it's going to be a miraculous thing. So he is ready to go, but he gets down there, and this is not the same Pharaoh. You know, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house, but now his son is in charge, and he is not nearly as compassionate or as gentle as his father was. In fact, I think that he probably, according to Bible history, probably has a little jealousy in his life toward Moses, in that Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house, in his dad's house, and he was Hebrew by birth, so he's already got a strike or two against him. But here he goes in the power of God and stands before Pharaoh, and he tells him that God said to let my people go. And you know the story, and Pharaoh says, no, it's not happening this time, you know, no way. You know, I'm not going to let all of my servants and all of my slaves that are building my bricks or making my bricks, I'm not going to let that workforce go. But God begins to work through the plagues. You remember the plagues. There was the plagues of flies, and there was a plague of frogs and lice and boils and hail and locusts, and all of those things came. And it moved on Pharaoh's heart for a little bit because he saw the pestilence and he saw the things that were detrimental to his nation. But he soon got over it. You know what? A lot of people will repent a little bit. They'll repent when things ain't going real good in their life. They'll repent when they really need a mighty move of God. But then they're not as serious about it as they need to be when things settle down and they're good again. You know, I've often said, you know, the Lord probably would think, you know, if y'all would talk to me and commune with me when in the good times, there wouldn't be so many bad times. But I find that so many people, the only time they really seek God is when they're in need or have a problem or a situation. So here we find a little bit, Pharaoh's heart was sort of softened a little bit, but he very quickly got over it and said, no, that's not going to do it. But finally, God ordained a plan. And this wonderful, beautiful, immaculate plan that God ordained is nothing more than a type and shadow of things that would come down the road into the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, into the birthing of the Messiah, the Son of God, the precious Lamb of God that would die on our behalf for our sins. But we go back to Egypt now, and Moses is perplexed a little bit. He's seen all of these things, the mighty hand of God, even turning the water red, a blood red, and killing cattle and all of these things. But yet Pharaoh would still not succumb to God's ordinance and would not let his people go. So God, Moses began to worry about it, but God wasn't worried about it because God knew exactly what he was going to do. So he began to tell Moses, he's exactly what I want you to do with the children of Israel. I want you to get them together. I want you to tell them what to do. Get a lamb, perfect lamb. It can't be a lamb with any type of blemish or spot. You can't go out and get the run of the litter and give it to God and expect a miracle. Amen. Come on, he wants our first fruits. He wants our best. He wants our best efforts. He wants our best talent. He wants our best praise. He wants all of that. And that's not too much to ask, because the Bible says if you seek him first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added to you. Amen. We get it so messed up. We seek everything else, and if we got time, we'll seek the Lord. But that's not his will, and that's not his way. He says, put him first and seek him first. So go get the first, the most perfect lamb, and you bring it in, and he provided for those. Isn't it wonderful that God also realized that in some of those Israeli houses, and probably, let's think about it, they call them houses, but they were probably little shacks or huts, or you would think about maybe the very poorest side of town, because these were enslaved people. All they had probably was a roof over their head, maybe a straw bed or something. They had to work all day long and probably very little to eat on, very little sustenance, but it was their house and there was their home. And, you know, some people are more industrious than others, and maybe they fixed up their little shack or their little hut a little more than the others, and maybe some families were bigger than other families. But God made provision for that. He said, if in fact there's not a lamb enough for both of you and your neighbor need to share the lamb because of the size of your household, that's perfectly all right. But this is the way you got to do it. You got to put it up for, 14 days, I think it was. And in the 14th day of the same month, then you slay it, you take of it, you eat the Passover meal, which by the way, they still celebrate today. The Jewish nation still celebrates the Passover. And that's what they're celebrating the night, amen, that the death angel came through and delivered or made provision for the deliverance of the children of Israel. And I want to get into, if you would allow me, just a little bit of my imagination as I begin to think about, as Moses and Aaron had called all the congregation and they had given them the instructions. They had told them exactly what they needed to do. Amen? You know, and probably recited it again and again, because there were a lot of men in the congregation. So, come on, you ladies. You should say amen. How many of you ever had to tell your husband two or three times before it finally kind of seeps in? Well, we won't go there then. But anyway, he makes sure that they know exactly the instructions that they're supposed to do. Amen? And so They began to get ready, and they began to prepare. And I thought about this. Had it not been for God's precise and direct instruction, I wonder how the children of Israel would have made provision for the visitation of the death angel that particular night. And this is what is a wonderful type and shadow of nothing will ever take the place of the blood. As I told you a while ago, some may have been more able to have things that others didn't. Maybe they thought, well, if I can fix my house up just a little bit nicer, if I can maybe decorate it a little bit, or maybe put something out here that will attract, or something like that. But you got to understand, whatever they would do, nothing would take the place of the blood of Jesus. No, this will be okay. I'll put some olive oil on it. How many know olive oil heals everything? Amen. With faith. No wonder y'all was looking at me like I had a booger in my nose or something. Is it still bleeding? That got it? Okay, my Lord have mercy. If I can get make it without losing my train of thought through this, I'll be all right. So anyway, back to Moses, and back to the houses being prepared. Is it still bleeding? I hope this is not on live stream. Are you editing this part out? So after Moses was taken care of and got his Band-Aid on, and he went proceeding through the houses and telling everybody, nothing's going to work except the blood. Because some of those people may have had more than others. I can't do this. This is going to stay. That's going to drive me crazy. I'll just keep this. Because some of the people may be able to pay a price that others could not. Maybe some of the people thought that because we're better than some of the other people, then maybe the death angel will spare us. Or maybe if we attend church on a regular basis, maybe the Lord will forgive us and save us. Or maybe if we're a good daddy or good mama or a good worker. Maybe if we actually shave our face and it don't cut ourselves. Point being, nothing can take the place of the blood. You see, if God had formulated a plan about just being good, come on. Just being good. Or just because you are of a certain family, or because you belong to a certain denomination. How many people would that have left out? But he made it possible for each and every family to be able to be saved from the death angel. And that was the instruction that he gave them about the sacrificial lamb. I'm still bleeding, ain't I? Just a little bit. Okay. So the blood that they were to take from the lamb, catch it in a basin, take some hyssop. And I thought this was unique too. They would dip this little brushy flower thing, hyssop, into the blood, And they would, you know, always thought, paint like a paintbrush. Well, the Bible said they would strike it on the doorpost, on each doorpost, and on the top of the doorpost or the lintel. Isn't it amazing that God was very precise in not only what had to be applied, but exactly how it had to be applied? I was intrigued with the word strike. And I happened to think about another sacrificial lamb who, before he was led up the cross, up the hill of Golgotha and carrying his cross, he knows he was beaten. He was struck many, many times as that blood began to pour. If, in fact, there had been any other way for humanity to be born again, God would allow it. But God never changed the fact that redemption comes through the blood. The times preceding Christ, there had to be a blood sacrifice of goats, of rams, of bullocks. But there always had to be spilled blood. But the blood was the only thing that the death angel would recognize. And when he saw the blood, he would pass over. In verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." The Lord was dealing with me about that particular blood and about the preparation of the blood. And I would imagine when they got the news that if this blood is not applied on the two doorposts and on the lintel on the top of the post, then your oldest child is going to face death. Now imagine being given that kind of news. How much preparation would you as parents do to apply, make sure you got that blood applied exactly like God had spoken through Moses and Aaron? You would not haphazardly got it together, nor would you have waited till the last minute. You would have made sure that that blood was applied so that the eldest child of your family would survive. Oh, that people today would take that type of urgency in having the blood applied to their children, to their children's children, to their loved ones, amen, because of the death angel. And listen, when the death angel came by, he wouldn't knock on the door and say, "Are you ready?" He wouldn't say, "You know what, I'm going to go to your neighbors and I'm going to be back." If the blood wasn't there, without question, that oldest child died immediately. So I'd imagine the parents didn't wait till the last minute to get that blood applied. I imagine they were ready, and I imagine probably they didn't have a night's sleep. They probably sat up all night long. In fact, that was part of the instruction, because they're getting ready to leave. Amen. Not only, this is the wonderful thing, not only did the blood applied to the doorpost signify that that oldest child was going to live, but it also signified that it was going to change the hard heart of Pharaoh and the children of Israel, who had been in Egyptian bondage for 400 and something years, were going to be set free, all because of the blood. I don't know if you get that tonight, but I'm so thankful that because of years and years and years of sinful bondage, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I was set free the night I came to the altar, the night that the death angel didn't get me that night. Glory to God, he had to pass over because he saw the blood. Can I also remind you, on Judgment Day, that the blood is going to be the only thing that they're going to be looking for. Not how faithful he was, and it's wonderful to be faithful. Please, the Bible instructs us to be faithful. Good, moral, You know, you can be a good moral person and bust hell wide open if you haven't had the blood applied. Moms, dads, please, spiritually, get that blood applied to both sides. Both sides, spiritually. I know we're talking about a wooden structure. And I know we're talking about just something that happened years and years ago, but it's so symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ. He did the hard part. He's paid the price. The easy thing for us is to accept Him as Lord and Savior, repent of our sins, be filled with His Spirit, have that precious redeeming blood applied to our life so we won't have to worry whenever that death angel comes or even when the splitting of the eastern sky, whichever comes, it is inevitable that one is going to come. Bible says we're appointed. They're appointed unto man to die. And after that, the judgment. We better be ready. Why would you wait till the midnight hour to apply the blood of Jesus Christ when it's fully available right now? And all you have to do is ask Him to come into your life. Forgive me of my sin. We've all sinned. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, I want to be ready when you come or call. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, with me for just a few scriptures here to fully solidify the blood that we're talking about. You know what? I am going to use that. Y'all are concerned about that blood, aren't you? I mean, seriously. The pastor's bleeding. Bless his heart. But you know what? Every bit of this blood that's coming out of this pastor would not get you to heaven.
Amen.
Well, that was handy, wasn't it, Brother Craig? Now, I'm not going to cut my wrist every time I get up to preach, but I just want to let you know that I could bleed all night long and it wouldn't take you past the door as far as getting you to heaven. But as much blood as that is, one precious drop of the blood of Jesus Christ is all you need to set you free, amen, to open your heavens and gates to you, amen, to give you a born-again experience. Nothing but the blood. Not any money, not any fame, not any fortune, not having your name on the who's who's list, not even having your name on the church roll book is going to get you to heaven unless the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life. Can you say amen? Praise God. Not just any blood, not just any blood, but the blood of Jesus Christ. Not just any lamb, but the perfect lamb without spot and without blemish. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Hey, wait a minute, I got ahead of myself. What did I tell y'all?
Ephesians.
Well, all right, we'll do that one first then. I hope you cut that thing off back there. They're going to say, what in the world's going on at First Pentecostal? Preacher's bleeding, he's got senile, he don't know where he's going next. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3, let's begin, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse number 7, very important, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of grace. He was very explicit, very precise in what he said would cause forgiveness of sins. Not how good you are, not how great you are, not what you've accomplished, but through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now Hebrews chapter 9. And verses 11 through 14. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Further reiterating the fact that it takes the blood. And finally, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. How many knows that? All the riches that you could amass is not going to take you into heaven. You're not going to be able to buy your way there. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. That's where our redemption cometh from. Again, nothing but the blood. That wonderful song, nothing but the blood. Amen, is going to get us ready for heaven. The precious blood that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary that we might be saved. You know what? And it's not his will that any should perish. Not his will. And the thing about it, every household of the children of Israel received the same instruction. It was left up to them to have the blood applied. Wouldn't it be great if, say, well, the pastor, well, just apply the blood to the whole church. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But it's an individual matter. You must be born again. You must repent. You must humble yourself down. And you know what? I don't know why we wait and why we wait and why we wait. There's been so many grave sites today filled with people who had very good intentions to get saved, but just never got around to it. Don't let you be that person. Amen. Be ready today. If you've not made preparation, this is the day of salvation. This, you need to get it done while it's day, because night cometh. Amen. And it's going to come quick to some folks. May God bless you. We love you. It's been quite an experience tonight, but if you remember anything about this service, you will remember the blood, I will assure you. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Every head bowed, every eye closed. One thing about First Pentecostal Church, we always say this altar is open. The reason it's open is because it's never closed. Amen. How can you close an altar? This is a place, a point of contact. There's nothing here in this wooden structure that can save you, but you can come and humble yourself down. There's nothing sweeter than coming before the presence of God and humbling yourself down. Many people in the Bible, they would come and they would just fall prostrate on the ground and begin to worship the Lord. Amen. There's something said to be able to humble yourself down in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. With every eye closed, every head bowed tonight, if there's one that would come, maybe you have been born again. Maybe you're saved. Maybe you just kind of drifted away, and you want to make certain and sure that that blood is applied to your life. You want to make sure that when you leave those doors tonight, you're ready. There's not a shadow of a doubt in your mind that I'm ready to meet the Lord should he come or call. This is your opportunity. You're around folks that love you, and they'll pray with you, and they'll pray for you. So again, with every head bowed, every eye closed, we'll give you an ample opportunity. Is there one that would come tonight? Is there one, while no one's looking, just slip that hand up and let this pastor know. And I promise I will not recognize you. I will not come get you. I will just pray for you. God bless those prayers, those arms and those hands that are raised. May God bless you. Some of you elders gather around. Let's pray tonight. Amen. I need some believers. Amen. Some believers.
Jesus, Lord, that you touch this brother. God, anoint him. God, right now,
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God. I know that there's prayer requests, there's needs, and God knows each and every one. And as we prepare to depart, if there's anyone watching online, as I'd said earlier, if you have a prayer request, please put it in the comments. I know there's some that even this evening were still in the waiting tent out at the hospital waiting on answers. And we have a friend that his mom's been in ICU over at Grady, and they had to going through so much. And I know we've already prayed, but I just want to say as we prepare to depart, I know there's parents that's got a diagnosis. It's very scary because we hear the words, but we know God's got it. Amen. We've prayed and we've given it to the Lord. Well, if all hearts and minds are clear, the only thing I'm going to ask is we pray together to depart. First of all, I invite you all back for Sunday school and church Sunday morning. Don't forget about the pastor appreciation luncheon right after our a.m. service. And also, as we prepare to depart, though, if the Lord's got somebody on your mind or a situation, or maybe it's just one of the prayer requests that he's placing in your heart, we know he's an on-time God. So as we do pray, let's all pray together, and let's just let those names or those situations, just lift them up to the Lord. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity you've given us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, your word is holy. Lord, thank you for allowing us to feast on your word, for the message that came forth, because, dear Lord, there is nothing but the blood. Dear Lord, those words ring out true. And, dear Lord, may we put you first in all that we do. When we put our life, everything that we have, dear Lord, because of you, we can come to you, dear Lord, with an open heart. Dear Lord, I ask you to cleanse us of our sins, dear Lord. Heal our bodies, our town, our communities, our friends, those watching online, dear Lord. Maybe they haven't given their life to you, dear Lord. We're praying for them now, dear Lord, that they will take that time and to let your Spirit just minister to them and through your word. But, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. We thank you for answering prayers, for healing, for saving our souls. And, dear Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. In the most precious name above, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful week. Rest of the week. Praise God.